This is A Sharp Outlook on TalkZone.com, the show that helps you grow your business and enrich your life. Now, here's the host of A Sharp Outlook, Angela Sharp.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to A Sharp Outlook. We broadcast live here on TalkZone.com. We are here to provide you with information to bring ideas about best practices and thought-provoking discussions that with industry experts that I invite each week. We discuss current topics that impact business. We talk about health issues. We talk about things impacting your communities, families. We talk about education and most of all our children. But today I want to start out by saying thank you to all of our veterans for your service, your sacrifice, and your bravery. Because of you, I can enjoy the freedoms of this nation, and I thank you. The last segment of our show is called our Ask Me segment, and it gives you an opportunity to call in and to ask questions and engage with me and my guest each and every day. So I'm thanking you, and I'm hoping that you're going to tune in for the last segment. And today we're going to be talking about change the world, start in your backyard. You know, we hear all the time people say they want to go out and change the world. They want to make their mark in society. And, of course, we always hear people say, and bring world peace. But how many times have you heard those statements and yet everything seems to remain the same? Is it because the dream is too lofty? I don't think so. Is it unachievable? I think it can be. Maybe we are trying to make this difference from the wrong vantage point. Have you ever looked at your own backyard for the opportunities that make an impact in the world? Imagine if everyone had this dream to be a positive force of change, started making that change in their own community. That would be great news to start in your neighborhood and transform it. What if you energized your community and caught it ablaze and everyone's excited? And they're spreading, you know, spreading that news out beyond just four walls or where you think you should be starting. The world is made up of small and intimate communities everywhere. And there is no one better equipped to make change in that community than those that are from that community. You personally know everyone there. You know the culture. You know other members in the community. You know their backgrounds, their secrets, and everything else. And you know what it takes to begin a revolution right there in your own hometown. So consider investing your time and your dreams in a place where you live and be the transformation you see it become reality. Today we're going to discuss how to change the world by starting in your own backyard. Today my guest is Scott Meyer. He is the bro founder of Nine Clouds. He and his brother John started the business to teach the power and potential of online technology through humor, practical examples, and brotherly banter. Mr. Myers translates digital media buzz into action steps to inspire and educate the audience in social media, digital marketing, education. He talks about improving the community, growing the community. Meyer writes and hosts the digital homesteading blog and podcast focusing on grow rural business and community, nineclouds.com blog. At the 2013 conference, Meyer shared how digital homesteading provides new opportunities for rural businesses and entrepreneurs and how digital media changes the possibilities of what can be done from the frontier, in other words, from your backyard. Scott presents at conferences offering education and entrepreneurship, social media education, step-by-step implementation. Scott is very involved in growing a business in its own backyard. Scott, I saw you on TEDx, and I wanted you to come on the show today to talk about starting business from your own backyard. Welcome to A Sharp Outlook, Scott.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, it's really great to hear you. I talked to you last year, and we're both from South Dakota, and you guys are getting snow, and I'm in California, so I'm kind of warm right now.
I know, but, and it's amazing. It doesn't matter. If you're either place, you can still talk and still make things happen, so it's an exciting opportunity.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I wanted to give you an opportunity to tell us what Nine Cloud does, and then we want to go in and talk about what you're doing in your community.
Sure. Well, Nine Clouds does two things. We either help and teach people how to use digital media for their businesses, or we implement digital media and marketing strategy to help businesses for people. So you can either go to nineclubs.com and teach yourself, or you can contact us and we'll help do it for you.
Well, I know I had an opportunity to have sessions with you, and it has certainly improved my digital media knowledge, and I'm becoming very, very proficient and efficient and darn good at it.
Yeah, that's so great. We always say, you know, digital literacy is an essential skill. You know, we can make a difference from anywhere in the world, but not if you don't know how to use the tools at your disposal. And so if you're unsure, we have an entire site with free resources to get started and courses, and you can go there and go to the resources page and really learn what's possible, because we all hear that we can live anywhere and do anything, but if you don't have the technical knowledge, even just a little bit, it's hard to get started. So that's kind of our goal, is to push people to action.
You know, and it's really good. You know, there are a lot of people that are retiring. There are older citizens. You know, we have vets coming back that, you know, may not have been involved in social media because they've been on the, you know, the front lines. So there are a lot of older generation people who aren't familiar with, you know, digital literacy. So this is really something that is great for them. How is this really impacting rural America?
Yeah, I think it's kind of the lifeline for rural America. Whether you're in the Midwest where I am, or even in, you know, rural California, you don't have to be next to your customers anymore. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be easier. We actually see, you know, more people moving to the cities, more business and income going to larger areas. And it's because in those larger metro areas, it's probably easier to learn the technology. More people are using it. So if you're in a rural area, you really have to go out of your way to teach yourself. And I think communities that are able to provide that education and then also provide examples or companies that are doing it are really the ones that will succeed moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, you know, I recently saw you on TEDx in Brookings, South Dakota, and you did a great presentation. So tell the listening audience exactly what was your presentation about?
Yeah, well, I had the opportunity to speak at the TEDx Fargo, which is a local version of the TED Conference that's held every year in Vancouver now. And at TEDx Fargo, the title of the talk was Stay Home and Save Your Community. And the idea is that if we really want to change the world, the best way to do it is to start locally. And there's kind of three reasons why. First of all, you know, when you get involved locally, you make an immediate impact and make that community better. But the second reason a lot of people don't realize is that the community actually makes your work better. And as you improve your work and learn how to help your immediate community, that's the best chance to then share that idea globally. So we can kind of talk about those three things, but those are the three main points, is that, you know, you can improve your community immediately. Your community will give positive feedback and improve your work, and that improved work has the best chance to help the world.
I always wondered, in starting in your own community, do you feel like you have to provide more excellence, or will your neighbors be more tolerant? Is that difficult to do?
Yeah, I know. I always say, you know, you're never a prophet in your hometown. It's always hardest to please people where you're from. And so if you can do it there, you can really do it anywhere. Obviously, you have a lot of help. You know who to talk to. You have resources potentially available. But people also think about you as whatever you have been in your community. You know, you might be somebody's son or daughter, or you might be the person who failed at this or that. Whereas when you're in a larger city or you move to a new place, you have kind of a blank slate. So I think there's a lot of challenges to working in your community, but the rewards, I think, outweigh those challenges, because you know the problems that people face in that location better than anyone else. You have local insight. And that's what a large company won't know about your community. They'll know how to solve problems for their customers or for their community, but you will have the best opportunity to help the place where you're from.
So really just kind of looking around and seeing exactly what the community needs and involving the community. It is important to actually involve the community in maybe some of the ideas that you're wanting to present. Is that correct?
Yeah, you want to involve them because they're kind of they're the marketplace. They're the little sample size. And what's nice about starting locally is you can really test ideas, find something that works, find things that don't work. And when you have an idea that's been polished and practiced with the local community, and then you're ready to share it with the outside world. And what's really powerful, what people forget, is that whatever community you're from, there are others like it in the world. And so if you can solve a problem for Brookings, South Dakota, where I'm from, or for Brooklyn, New York, there are other places like Brookings or Brooklyn around the world. And so that product or service that we create for Brookings could be sold to potentially Fargo, North Dakota, or maybe up somewhere in California, whereas the product or service that helps people in Brooklyn could be used in other metro areas. So community is essentially your way of creating a lean startup, creating a product or service that is tried and tested and then ready for the marketplace.
Absolutely, and I think a lot of people always think when they're in a rural area, if I can just get to the big city, I'm really going to be able to make it because, you know, everything is there available, but they don't realize you come to the big city, no one knows you, and there are so many right. other people, they don't notice you either. And so I agree, if you know everyone in your community and people get behind you and support you, they are kind of like ride or die, you know, friends, you know, they're going to be there for you to succeed. They want you to succeed because
right.
they know your mom and dad.
Yeah, exactly. And also it holds people that start the companies a little bit more accountable. You know, you never want to have a company fail, but you definitely don't want to let down your neighbors. And so I think it's a really positive pressure because you get people asking you about it when you go to the post office and talking to you about it when you're at the local restaurant. So it becomes part of your identity and people want you to succeed. And, you know, we started our company in South Dakota and what we found is there were a lot of cheerleaders. People wanted us to succeed. And because of that, we probably got more media attention and more clients than we would have had we started it in a larger city.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So it really is. And so I think we're saying this to the listening audience. Look around in your community. You know, sometimes people feel, well, they're not going to support me, or I know everybody there, or, you know, this, that, and the other. But it's because you know the people is why it really is an opportunity for you to be more successful. Because, like you said, they want you to succeed, just like that corner ice cream shop or that, you know, tool repair shop or whatever. You know, there's so many family businesses, and everyone knows the challenges of starting business, and they know this is just another family business, and we support families around here. That's what I have found out. You, when you were on that TEDx, you were talking about, you know, if you wanted to make changes, you wanted to, you know, to see different things happening in the community, that you look around and see what's needed and you become someone who can change it to what you wanted to see. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, you know, I think the kind of soundbite that we always tell people is build the community you want to live in. And so instead of throwing up your hands and searching around the world for a perfect place, which I don't think you ever find, just make it happen right where you are. And so if you want to live in a community that has, you know, more diversity, what can you do to promote people moving into the city from other parts of the world? Or if you want to live in a city that has, you know, active nightlife, what can you do to help the arts? If you want to live in a city with a strong financial district, what can you do to help entrepreneurs, businesses? And so all the things that we find lacking in our cities and our communities are opportunities for us to get engaged. And I think when we stop looking for perfection, when we stop searching for the best community and instead build our own, we make it happen and we feel a lot more reward and happiness from it because we're a part of creating it. So instead of just enjoying the fruits of someone else's labor, you become a person who built the success.
Oh, absolutely. When you were talking about this on TEDx, you started discussing about your ancestors and them coming and building a church and all of the things that they were involved in. And I want to get back to that and you tell us about that right after our break, and so we can hear all about that story.
Now, back to more of A Sharp Outlook on TalkZone.com. Here's Angela Sharp.
Well, thank you for tuning in to A Sharp Outlook on TalkZone.com. And today we are talking about changing the world, Why don't you start in your own backyard? And our guest today is Scott Meyer of Nine Clouds, and we are talking about someone who is starting from his own backyard in South Dakota and making a difference in that community. And just before the break, Scott, we were talking about the story you were telling about your family that moved to South Dakota and built a church, and kind of really, it really impacted me as I was listening to it. So can you share that story with us?
Yeah, I'd love to. I mean, you know, my family is originally from Northern Europe, Scandinavia, and Germany, and you know, they came over to the United States in the late 1860s, and they traveled as far west as they could. And when the train stopped, they got off and they took a boat up a river and were dropped off. And when they were dropped off there, they were essentially in the middle of the prairie in a complete darkness. And the people who were supposed to pick them up weren't there. So they spent a night on the bank of this river in this new country. And, you know, somehow in that darkness, they were able to see a future. They were able to imagine what was possible, and they ended up building, you know, not only a family and a farm and a church, but also a community, and that's still there today, and the church whose bells still ring. And, you know, I always think about that in terms of the challenges we face. You know, we're always scared. People are often scared to start business or a project or an organization, but it's really nothing in comparison to what our ancestors had to go through. They, you know, they had to do things with their bare hands and travel days just to get supplies, and we can, in a matter of seconds, look up anything that's ever been written on our phones that's in our pocket, you know. So that's kind of a guiding light for me. And what, you know, what I think I've learned from them is that they were homesteaders who really created something out of nothing. And so when we write, we do it kind of under the headline of digital homesteading, which is our blog. And, you know, we're really encouraging people to think back to those who came before them. And what can you learn from them, and what can you build on to what they've done? And I think that idea of legacy and long-term growth and development is something that isn't always discussed. You know, there's a lot of interest in creating a quick company and a quick sale and exiting. And I think it's equally exciting to build something for the long term that people will remember you by and that will honor the legacy of what came before you. So that's kind of, you know, how I got to South Dakota and why I'm staying, and also what drives me to work every day.
Oh, absolutely. And that, when I listened to that story you told, I said, I want that story shared, because there's a lot of people and there's a lot of media information out there about, oh, how to be an entrepreneur, how to start your business. And I know there's some technical things, but no one ever talks about how to look at the world and the environment around you and see it like a land that's undeveloped, nothing's there. Like you said, darkness. They didn't have lights out there. There's no electricity. You
can, right.
you know, turn on your, you know, cell phone, you know, flashlight. It was just dark. And I'm sure they heard the noises, because I've lived in South Dakota. So,
right.
You know, it could have been a very frightening time, but they pulled together and they said, we're here and we're going to make things work right here where we are. And that's what I'm wanting people to understand today. Make something work right where you are, because in your neighborhood, there is a prairie that needs to be developed, and it needs to be more than just a quick million on your mind. It's about changing the world and changing that community and making a legacy of something that's going to continue on even after you're gone. I just love that story.
It was so impactful.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And I think, you know, all of us have stories like that of how our family got to wherever they are and how we got to where we are. So I think it's just, you know, it's a different way to think about work, is that it's not just what we do from 8 to 5, but it's really the lifestyle we set out to live and the legacy we want to leave behind us. So, I really encourage people to just, think about that. And it puts you in a different frame of mind and hopefully helps you focus on what matters too.
Oh, absolutely. So I'm hoping my listeners understand that. Put your mind on what it is that really has the most value and what is most important. And it's not always money. There's so much more that is important, especially if it's a community business, because you're impacting not only your family, but all the families around you. And you know them by name. They're just not a customer, you know, off of the internet. They live next door. So why do you believe neighbors in a community can help you, you know, grow your business?
Yeah, well, I think they have unique problems that need solving, and they probably are maybe even more upfront about feedback on your solution. So, you know, we know best what our neighbors are struggling with. We talk to them. We see them every day. We probably share struggles with them. And so when we're able to help them, it not only creates better products and services, but it also probably provides more reward for us. So if we're making our neighbors' lives easier and making our community better and whole, we're not only creating a business that's successful, but we're creating a community that's more vibrant. And, you know, one of the things that is fascinating is that when somebody takes that leap to start a company, start an organization, to invest in their community, it makes it easier for others to do the same. Mm-hmm. So you have clustering. You know, you have clustering where it's easier for an ice cream shop to open if there's another ice cream shop in town. Or, you know, if you walk in New York, there's just one entire block where they sell flowers. The entire street is all the flower vendors. And that's because it's easier to start a company or a business when somebody else has taken the bold step of being the first. And so, you know, if you don't already have that in your community, you can be the one that blazes the trail, like the homesteaders that came before us. Or if there are other people in your community, you can join them. And so thinking about, you're not only creating success for your community and your neighbors, but you're also blazing the trail for other people to do the same. So your impact is exponentially greater than your single output.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Now, do you see any disadvantages of building a local business in a community?
Yeah, it's harder. You know, if you do it in your little place, it's probably going to be more difficult. It's probably easier to go to somewhere like, you know, San Francisco or New York, where there's more money, there's more people who have started things, there's a larger market. But there's also a lot of people doing that, so there's more competition as well. And so the challenge, I think, when you start locally is you probably have fewer mentors and fewer examples to follow, so you kind of have to blaze your own trail. But I think once you get there, once you achieve success, you'll be celebrated and also have a hold on the market than, better than you would in a larger area where people are more likely to switch from service provider or company to company.
Mm-hmm. You were mentioning in that TEDx talk, you were saying to get other people in the community involved, and you say a lot about creating events. So how do you create events, and why do you create events?
Yeah, so in my local community of Brookings, you know, it's about 25,000 people, and what we're trying to do is create density. And so one of the core beliefs we have is that when people are in a shared space, physically in a shared space, that they are more likely to share ideas, collaborate, and learn from one another. And a lot of times in rural America, you don't have that density built in. You know, in a city, you would naturally have people living in apartments, and you have lots of people in the coffee shops, and you have ideas and people in the same area. But in rural America, it's a lot more spread out. So we like to host events because it gives us momentary density where people come together for an hour or for a day for a conference or just for a cup of coffee. And if we can create those moments to get people in the same place, then the ideas kind of take care of themselves. So you need to push people into a small area, maybe give them a little bit of a starter. So we do events like there's one we do called 1 Million Cups, which is basically once a week, we have one business share their idea and what they're working on, and the audience tries to help them finish it, and everybody gets free coffee. So it's about 45 minutes once a week, and it becomes kind of like the town square, the proverbial town square, where people get together to see what's going on and just talk to one another. We also do bigger events like TEDx Brookings, just like I spoke at TEDx, which is an all-day event where you have really big ideas and talk about how we can make our community more creative. And then we do, you know, smaller events. We do weekly app meetups. We do co-working so people can come work in the same space. And anything we can do to get people physically together. Because even though we have all this technology to talk to one another, to share ideas, we find that that community, that physical community, is important to generating new ideas and new outcomes for the community.
You know, it takes me back. When I was a little girl, I grew up in a very, very small town in Ohio. And, you know, we had the little neighborhood stores, and we had the neighborhood hairdresser, and we had, you know, there were the larger grocery stores and larger, you know, companies. But everyone always, you know, were patrons of that neighborhood store, and they knew what, you know, each one of the neighbors liked to buy, and if something was, you know, new going to be coming in, they notified everyone, and it was just like one big, large family, and they were successful in what they did. They may not have been, you know, a Wall Street company, but they were successful, and they impacted the neighborhood and their lives and everything, and I think, like I was mentioned before, sometimes, you know, that dream is about just impacting the people just next door to you. So you get together for coffee. Do people have problems like sharing or showing their vulnerabilities?
Yeah, and I think, you know, they're around their neighbors. So there's even another level of you can't tell someone like, oh, I'm thinking about starting a new company, because they know where you work and they maybe are friends with your employer or something. And so there is definitely inhibitions, I would say. But what we typically find is that people don't know what's possible until they see it or hear it. And so even just getting people together to say, help someone else with their idea gets the people who are helping to think, what could I do? What could I do differently? Even if it's not changing jobs, even if it's just within my current position to make the community better. So there's definitely, at first, you know, hesitation. And I think what happens is just like someone starting a business makes it easier for someone else to start a business. Starting a local event makes it easier for someone else to start an event. And what we find is that you no longer need permission. You know, you don't need a lot of capital or anything to make something happen locally. You can send out an email, put up a Facebook post, and tell people to meet at the library for free, and all of a sudden you have an event. And so just getting people to think about how can I connect with my community and start something is a really good way to start the snowball rolling, as we say here, as it snows outside.
Absolutely, as the snow is outside. Well, we're going to continue this conversation right after our break and find out more about how you can go out and make an impact in the world by starting in your own backyard.
Welcome back to A Sharp Outlook on TalkZone.com. Here again is Angela Sharp.
Well, welcome back, and we're talking about making a change in the world. A lot of people talk about it, but we also want to mention the fact, if you're wanting to make a change in the world, how about starting in your own backyard? Our guest, Scott Meyer from South Dakota, is doing that right there in rural America, in the plains of the country, making a difference right in his own backyard. So as we were talking, you were mentioning having these events that create the community coming together. How long did it take you to get people to really want to be involved? Was that difficult?
Yeah, I think it's an ongoing challenge. And you know, when we started our 1 Million Cups event, for example, we had 15 to 20 people, and that was, we're on our 23rd week this week, and, you know, now we're between 60 and 80 people. So it kind of grows over time as people hear about it, and you want to make events that are memorable. You know, you don't want to do the same old business conference. You want to do something that is personal and that stands out so that people will want to be there and be a part of it. So that's really, you know, we've seen growth that way, and by having a consistent approach where there's always opportunities for people to come and get involved. So it takes a while, you know, and it might not be the number might not matter, but it might be the quality of people. And so having a smaller event with, you know, a few people that are in a specific industry, often is a really good way to get started. You know, so if you are a writer, you know, can we start a writing group for people in town or something for creatives? Or if you're in finance, you know, what can we do to get different finance people meeting together and sharing ideas and just getting us outside of our day-to-day silos so we're sharing ideas and meeting people on the other side of the fence.
Well, you know, what impresses me about, what's it called, Million Cups? People gathering and coming together, and you have different people that are highlighted at each, you know, event. Different people talking about their business, you know, which is then, you know, increases, you know, their revenue, because if someone wasn't patronizing it, you know, they're now going to become a customer, or they're going to tell someone about it because they might be, well, I've never gone in there, you know, because I didn't have a need. But now that I'm hearing about it, I know my neighbor has a need. So it's almost like an in-house marketing that's taking place right there, you know, at that, just having a cup of coffee. So that's pretty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's kind of how it happens. You know, it's kind of the collapse of context, people say, where, you know, your personal life and your business life are becoming one. And so people will work with you not just because your business is great, but because they've met you at events or they know what you believe in, they share your ideas. And so the more that you can meet people and have those opportunities to share those ideas, the more it not only will help your community, but also your business.
Well, I've always believed in business owners being involved with their community and finding out and meeting their neighbors and those that are there and actually developing relationships. I am noticing now some of the largest corporations that are out there are having terrible business. Their profits are falling. They're losing their customers. You know, for instance, McDonald's, they're really having a hit right now. And even the, what is it, the soft drink industry, because people are changing and are like, you know, it's not what we want. And you're not paying attention to what we want. You're trying to force us to take what you're offering because you've always done it that way. But we are a new generation. We are a new group of people. We are more social. We are more connected. And we have connected and decided we don't want this. And, you know, I'm seeing corporations suffering just because communities are gathering and having this cup of coffee, getting on social media, actually talking and sharing ideas and becoming connected, you know, and talking about what works and what doesn't work and what they want for their future. So I can see where it's really important to connect and be vulnerable and transparent and find out what the community really, really wants in their area or in their neighborhood. And I think you really have you have a concept here that I think ought to be put in a bottle and spread around the world because, you know, if we really paid attention to our neighbors, we would have successful businesses because they have no problem telling you exactly what they want. So I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And like you said before, it really doesn't matter the size. I think the quality is what is the most important. And to me, I see a lot of growth, you know, to start out with, you know, a few people and now be up to 60, 70 people at an event. That's pretty huge. And especially it's not the same old conference. And I know what you're saying because I've done conference speaking and those are even starting to dwindle because people are hearing the same thing over and over and over just being said by another face, but it's the same information. And people expect something new. And I think that's what you're doing.
Yeah, it is happening. If people are listening to this and interested in trying to start something, 1 Million Cups is a project started by the Kauffman Foundation based in Kansas City. And so there's actually 61 communities right now in the U.S. doing this at the same time. And so kind of the vision is if a million people across the country all shared a cup of coffee at the same time and talked about business and community, what would the potential outcome be? And that's kind of what we're doing. So other communities could definitely join on. You know, it's not something that we're holding close to the vest. It's something we want as many people as possible to do.
So do they have a website? Because I think our listeners would like to know how they could be a part of 1 Million Cups and sit down and maybe share their ideas or listen to other people's ideas.
Yeah, definitely. If you just go to 1MillionCups.com, and that's with the number one and the word million cups, you can see all the cities that are doing it. And some of them do stream them, and so you would be able to watch even if you're not in that community. So you can find Brookings on there and see who's speaking at our event, and I think you'll get excited.
Oh, absolutely. Well, like I said, I listened to yours, and it was just it just energized me because of the fact I'm always trying to give best practices and encourage people to start businesses, but, you know, sometimes it's a little too technical and people need to know you're dealing with individuals, you're dealing with neighbors, you're dealing with someone's mother and father, and there needs to be something personable about what you're trying to do. And I heard this and I said, he's got the ticket. There is the personable in this conversation going on. And you have created a lot of different events, like you said, besides this one.
Yeah.
You have a lot of other events. And you're getting good participation?
Yeah, we are. We are. I think, you know, when you set a big vision that people can get behind, they'll kind of make it what they want. And so instead of telling people, you know, we're going to do this and this, you tell people the big audacious goal. So we want to make Brookings, you know, the creative capital of the Midwest. And they can kind of interpret what that means for themselves. So, if you tell people we're going to make our community the a source of great ideas or the most something in the world, you're not telling them how to get there. You're just telling them the end goal. And that way people can kind of create their own path there. And for some people, it'll be coming to events and starting events. For some people, it'll be just working in their own job. For other people, it might be moving to the city or convincing other people to come or, paying to attend sporting events or arts events. So you kind of open up the door for how people can participate and just tell them where we're trying to get together.
Yeah, like blazing a trail.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of the homesteader saying, we want to create a community and a church. You might have to decide, how you're going to build your little plot of land. But in the end, we'll all get there together in different ways.
Mm-hmm. And just watching new businesses, have new businesses been started since you have began these gatherings?
Yeah, we've actually had really interesting successes, and not just businesses, but partnerships. And so we had a woman speak maybe a month ago who is actually from Sierra Leone, and she was working to gather medical supplies to send back to her home to help with the Ebola crisis. And one of the audience members was from 3M, which is a large, medical design company, and they were able to talk to each other afterwards, and 3M became one of the leading donors of masks and gloves that are now being shipped to Sierra Leone just because of this cup of coffee. And so we have, great successes like that and just people finding out about new local businesses. We have a stationery shop in our town, and the two women who run it spoke at 1 Million Cups, and the next week they were featured in an online publication that talks about entrepreneurship in town 2 hours away. So just giving them that platform is really powerful. So you create the stage, in essence, and the spotlights, and then you let other people stand in it so that they're feeling the power and support of the community and making those connections that will help them succeed.
You know, as we're sitting here talking, everybody can go back and relate to blazing a trail, regardless if it's in a major city or in rural America. And I just often wonder, are there really unique problems, or everyone just has the same problems but in just a different location? What is your ideas on that?
Yeah, I think problems are quite similar. And so when you solve them locally, then you can find other markets for your solutions. And so that's one, I think don't try to be everything to everyone, because when you can solve for a specific group of people, you'll find that there are others like them around the world. And the beauty of the internet is now you can find those weird people like you elsewhere. I tell the story, I wrote a book about travel hacking Norway, which is basically traveling to Norway where I used to live using points and miles. And so you could go there for almost free. And there's not very many people in the world who are willing to, hitchhike and stay on people's couches and do things like this to travel to Norway. But, there are probably a couple thousand in the world who are. And because I wrote this book, people find it. It's not hundreds and hundreds of people, but every month, I get 15 or 20 bucks because a couple of random weirdos like myself bought this book. And that's it's just a good lesson that when we create a specific idea that helps, others will find that solution and use it.
Oh, absolutely. I know you have been on your homesteading podcast for quite a while, and you do get participants, from around the world. And we're talking about they are very rural, and a lot of the things that you're discussing that and challenges that you guys are finding solutions to right there in the middle of rural America. There are third world countries that happen to just have access to the internet that you're helping to solve their problems. And that's what, that's what's just so unique about what you and your brother do and the business that you're doing. And so I'm like I said, I'm just always amazed at what can be done and what people can start and how just looking in your own backyard, you can find so many things to be involved in and so many solutions to problems. And the thing is, understanding that they're not unique, that there are other people in the world. We think about a world because we are, you know, global now. Somebody else mm-hmm. is feeling that same pain, going through that same issue, having those same problems, having those same steps they have to go through as a startup, having those same setbacks. And if mm-hmm. we just share those stories and, like you said, have those million cups of coffee or whatever, we can actually impact the world just from our own backyard. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to discuss more about this, and we're going to open the phones and make an opportunity for you to call in and ask your questions.
You're listening to A Sharp Outlook on TalkZone.com. Here again is Angela Sharp.
Well, it's time for our Ask Me segment where you get the opportunity to call in to talk to our guest, and our guest today is Scott Meyer, or to give me a call to ask your questions about our topic today. And the number to call is 888-463-6748. In other words, it is 888. Go for it. So go for it and give us a call and join this wonderful topic about making a difference in the world, but starting in your own backyard. And just before the break, we were talking about the fact that there are no unique problems. That problem exists somewhere else in the world. Do you have examples of, people that have contacted you from some other part of the world?
Yeah, I mean, one of the most interesting examples is apparently there's a region of Australia called the Wheat Belt, and some of our articles were shared on a newsletter that they send out to residents there, and so we've had a lot of people from rural Australia who have written in and said, you know, that we have the same problems, and a lot of the educational content we're sharing is stuff that they're using in their communities now, and so, you know, it's pretty interesting to find that, yeah, something that we think is unique, like rural South Dakota is actually a model for other parts of the world. So we get a lot of interesting emails like that, and it's fun to connect with people around the world to try to do the same thing for their communities.
Oh, yeah. So as I mentioned in the show description, that the world itself is just a conglomerate of a lot of small and intimate communities all joined together to make, you know, the whole world. We're global now, and we're all little communities that are all connected in the world. And so the things that are happening in one part of the world, the same things are happening someplace else in the world. And communities really matter. And so if you're really wanting to make a change or really wanting to make an impact, if you started in your own backyard and, like Scott was saying, making those differences right there, you'll be able to take that model and move it out further and further and further. So I'm wondering, because a lot of there's a whole different mindset out there, Scott. A lot of people aren't thinking community. And so how can we change the mindset that the world out there needs to start with communities, and that we need to share information with one another? How do we do that?
Yeah, I think, when you kind of look at what makes companies and people successful and happy, it actually comes back oftentimes to community. And so sharing and showing that data is a big piece of it. And you find that communities with a creative class, as Richard Florida would say, tend to create more successful companies. And so people who maybe don't think about community as mattering, but do care more about companies, kind of framing it in that way is one way to get started, to show that the success of their business is improved when the community is successful. And, you know, it makes sense in the old rural scenario. If the farmers have a good year, people are going to buy more cars and they're going to go out to eat more often. And it's kind of the same thing today still in our communities. When people are doing well and are learning the technology and they're more open to the new products and services that other companies will provide. So if we can, you know, raise the tide, I think all boats will rise and companies will see success. So framing them that way sometimes matters to people a great deal, and that's one way to kind of share the message.
Do you know, we kind of got an example of that. It was kind of a terrible way to get an example of that. It's when we had that Ebola outbreak here. You know, we'd had, you know, countries that were being ravaged by this disease, and, you know, we had people in there helping, but we didn't have the world community involved until we had some patients right here in the United States, and then the cry went out to the whole, you know, the whole world, hey, we need the community involved, and we need to combat this together, because this is a problem that will affect all of us. And you saw everyone joining together, trying to come up with solutions, trying to come up with how to contain it, how to go in and eradicate it, and to stop the spread of the disease. And this is what, if we thought of the world, whatever their problems, whatever their issues, that it's just another community in our neighborhood, because we are all human beings in the same world, yeah. It really does make a difference, you know. And I saw this actually happen. You know, people have their differences of how they might have wanted to handle things, but everybody came together to, you know, to come on board, you know, to come up with a solution, you know. And it was really unique to see that, you know. Even countries that don't get along were all saying, yeah, we're on board. This is something mm-hmm. that we need to solve together. And I think it was that mindset that you're talking about today.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's kind of an old mantra, but, you know, if you take care of others, they'll help take care of you. And the more you can give and help, it'll come back around. And that's one thing, you know, at Nine Clouds we try to do is share lots of free resources so that when people get stuck, they'll come back to us. And, mm-hmm. You know, we take advantage of a lot of companies that do the same thing. We'll use their free services, ask them for advice, and then when time's right, we can work with them. So I think it's a business model that both improves the community and also is good for business, which is nice.
Well, you know, I noticed that you have started an online site, and you just mentioned it, nineCloudsAcademy.com. Tell us more about that and how our listeners can begin to participate in this.
Yeah, so nineclouds.com, we share free resources. So what we found is a lot of people want additional help, a little hand-holding and personal assistance. And so we started nineCloudsAcademy.com. And what it is it's your chance to talk to me. So when you have a question, when you get stuck, you can call me up, and we help you get through it. So it's a way to provide personal support in addition to all educational material, and also accountability. You know, one of the biggest challenges is not accessing information, but implementing it. And so when people need a little bit of help, Nine Clouds Academy is a great answer. So it works really well for marketers in a company, or if someone runs their own company and is kind of doing marketing plus managing the till, it really helps save time and get people started. So it's great for people who are in those positions.
And I do know a lot about the accountability. You would give me assignments to do, and at our next meeting you would ask me, did you complete this assignment, and show me what you've done. So you just can't get on there and, you know, play around with the information. There is accountability because, you know, Scott and them, they want you to really, really, truly succeed. So they do make you accountable. You mentioned the digital homesteading podcast also. So tell us about that for those who would like to be involved in it.
Yes, you can go on iTunes and find the archives of the digital homesteading podcast. And what we are trying to do with digital homesteading is highlight people who are living out this mantra of building community and business right where they are. So we've interviewed people from rural Kenya to Guernsey to Fargo, North Dakota. And, you know, what we're trying to do is just show that it's possible and some of the lessons people have learned from the experience. And so, yeah, we'd love for people to listen in on that. Again, it's totally free and hopefully provides a little inspiration in 15 to 20 minute bites. And, you know, it's been tremendously rewarding for me to just meet these people and kind of get the energy to keep going.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I get wonderful emails and subject matters that you send out each week, wonderful topics that you write about. I recommend people, you know, subscribe to your emails and to get on Digital Homesteading Podcast and join Nine Clouds Academy. You know, get yourself the tools that you need to succeed. Scott, this has really been an exciting conversation today, and I know people enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed listening to your TEDx. Can you tell them where they can see your TEDx presentation?
Yeah, so if you go to nineclouds.com and click on speaking, you'll be able to watch it there on our site, or just go to YouTube and search for Scott Meyer, and you'll find it there.
Okay.
You can always go to nineclouds.com to find links to everything we've talked about today, so that's probably the easiest site to give everyone.
Absolutely. Well, I just want to say thank you so much for being on the show today. It has really been enlightening. I've enjoyed the conversation, and I think you've given people something to really think about. Do you have any other last-minute thoughts?
I would just say that it's scary to start, but it's easy once you get going. And so creating momentum, whether it's just working on a project 10, 20 minutes a day to get started, anything you can do to just get the ball rolling, just really encourage you to do that, because we can build what we want to see in the world. So whether it's in our community or whether it's in a business. So instead of waiting, just make it happen. And if there's any way we can help at Nine Clouds, we'd love to do that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being here, and I will be staying in touch to see what you're
all
doing
right.
Next. For those that are listening, thank you. For those that are listening to A-Sharp Outlook on TalkZone.com, we are here every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific time. Please join us next week, because we will have another interesting topic to talk about. Again, I encourage you to contact Nine Clouds to see all of the information that's available to you, because as Scott mentioned, if you can see it, then you can make it happen, but you have to be able to visualize it, and sometimes visualizing things in your own backyard is the best place to start your vision. Tune in next week, and we will talk with you then. Bye-bye.